The word today is worry. Welcome to The Word Today with pastor and Bible teacher Doug Schrader. Things can happen in life that make us feel afraid or helpless or out of control. During these times, we tend to worry, but Jesus encourages us to trust God to meet our needs. Here to share Jesus' words about this topic is Bible educator Doug Schrader on The Word Today, Worry.
Whenever I lead tours to Israel, there are always smaller problems that arise that have to be dealt with. For instance, maybe there is a complication with the hotel and we have to change to a different hotel for the evening. Or else possibly in the itinerary, we have to switch around one or two events. We usually will let the people that are traveling know so that they're aware of what's going on. And once in a while, when we tell them there's an issue or a slight problem to resolve, there are two kind of reactions which arise in the group. One is that some individuals begin to worry immediately, despite the fact that we tell them, we will resolve this, we'll work on getting a solution to it. They seem obsessed over this one item or this one situation, and they will attempt to try to control the situation as a result. Other individuals decide we're going to trust the leader, and we're going to just let them handle it, and we'll continue enjoying our trip. This is a real-life situation that reinforces the words of Jesus about worrying, about the fact that he is our leader, and he asks us not to worry over things and not to obsess over them or try to take control of our life. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life and what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more important than food, and the body more important than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than birds? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about all the rest? Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all such things. And your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given you as well." And then I love this next thing Jesus says, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." We have Jesus encouraging us to not worry and try to take control over what's happening, especially in cases where we have no control, no matter how much we might try to seek it. Jesus acknowledges these two factors in the topic of worry. One is control and the other is trust. He talks about the rich man who has all of these possessions and his crops are so abundant. So he tries to take control of the situation and says, "I know what I'll do. I'll build bigger barns and store it all up and plan for the future." And then God says to him, "You fool, this night your soul will be required of you." It's a warning against this trying to make a perfect plan to be in control of our lives. And then on the other hand, he tells a story of the birds and of the flowers and how God's providence is there and how he provides for all of them and their needs being so insignificant compared to humans. And that's an issue of trust. He asks us to trust him to provide for us just as he provides for these things. Are there things in life, though, that are worth worrying about? I remember hearing one story of a captain of a boat out on the sea, and he had some young men who were passengers, and the seas grew extremely excited, in fact, dangerous, and the captain wore this very concerned look on his face. The young college men were guffawing and laughing at him and thinking, what's his problem? You know, you're a captain and you're afraid. And the captain looks over at them and says, you're too ignorant to be afraid. You know, are there things in life that we should worry about, should be concerned about because they're so critical, so important? A man at the health club where I work out for months has been consumed over issues of worry over his elderly father who is dying. This man who is concerned for his father can't stop the process, and so he has sleep issues. He's not able to sleep well. He's very jittery. If the phone should ring, he jumps. And this has been going on for 7 or 8 months. Is it worth worrying over these things? You know, there's things that happen in life that we would think should be cause for worry. You take a look at the situation that Jesus is talking about here in Luke chapter 12, where Jesus is discussing the fact that his followers would be brought before councils and authorities. That in verse 11 he says, when you are brought before synagogues, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. That's an amazing thought. Don't worry about what you'll say when you're standing before some court that could decide, based on what you're saying, whether you will go to prison or possibly even be executed. Can you imagine someone saying to you, don't worry about that? That calls for an amazing infusion of divine strength and the peace of God. It seems as though Jesus is saying that in no matter what circumstances, no matter what dire conditions exist, we are to seek to cast our cares and our burdens on our Heavenly Father. When Jesus says in verse 22 and in verse 32, do not worry, I've wondered many times, is that a command or a comfort? Is it a declaration, stop worrying, or is it an invitation, don't worry about that, I'll handle it? I tend to think it's the second. I think Jesus is inviting us to trust him, much in the same way that at times we may have asked someone else, please trust me in this matter. I'm dependable. I think the Lord Jesus is telling us this. And it's kind of funny how we can feel guilt if we feel worry over something and decide I'm not going to worry about it, how we can get this cheap satanic guilt over it. When my wife Connie and I were younger and first married, she would go out many times at night to take a walk for her fitness. And I found myself worrying over my new wife. Is she okay? Has someone come along and done evil to her? And then I would think, well, that's illogical. That's foolish. She's fine. God's taking care of her. And I would decide not to worry over this. But then I wondered, am I a bad husband because I'm not worrying? We can play these silly games in our heads. And Jesus, I think, invites us to take a look at the broader picture. Since the Lord is in charge, since he's caring for us, there's nothing ultimately that can be done to us to separate us from God and his love. That's what the book of Romans teaches us. So it's not necessary to worry as though we can control a situation that is out of our hands. Usually, when we worry, we get these irrational thoughts, and I've found it interesting how our sinful mind tends to turn toward thoughts of destruction and painful things when we tend to worry. For instance, if my wife was out late one evening and I didn't know where she was, the mind worries and tends to think of, oh no, maybe she's in a ditch somewhere and she's been assaulted or something. Why wouldn't the mind think, well, wow, possibly she's at a store or a market and has found something wonderful, a piece of clothing or something, and she can't make up her mind which she'd like to get because it's on such a cheap sale price and it'd be a wonderful blessing. Why don't our minds turn toward the positive? I think it's because Satan wants to trap us in fear. See, because behind worry is fear. And Satan wants to shackle us. He wants to bind us in that fear so that we won't be effective and so that we won't be able to get our thoughts off of ourselves. Because ultimately, that's what worry is. It's an obsession about what we feel, about what we think. And God doesn't want us to live that way. He wants us to be free from this so that we can serve other people, so that we can trust in God to handle the daily situations in our life, and then we can turn our attention to show other individuals the kindness of God and the love of God. Remember verse 32 where it says, "Do not be afraid, little flock." Notice how compassionate and how tender that is. That's why I don't think this is a demand, stop worrying, but instead an invitation. Little flock, I'm here. I'm leading you. It's going to be okay. And that's why Jesus also says that you can give of yourself. Give of your possessions, give to the poor, minister to other people. And I think that's the key to resolving worry in our lives, is to get the focus off of ourselves, to say we'll trust in the Lord Jesus, and then to get busy and to do, to plan and to minister to other people. Satan's going to try to get us stuck and trapped in our concern for ourselves. But Jesus has taught us that he is taking care of this. And it's just like being on that tour, being in life. Problems will arise, things will happen. But who is the one leading us? It is the Lord Jesus. And he has promised that he will look after us just like a shepherd looks after a flock, so that we can put our worry and concerns in his hands.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for the Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find the Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you. So visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support the Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at the Word today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have the Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.